One long-time observer of Sudanese politics say it is not really a surprise that the two sides didn't reach an agreement last week. John Ashworth is an advisor to churches in South Sudan and Sudan on peace and reconciliation. Ashworth says that the two sides are interested in gaining more territory before entering into significant talks.
I don't think there's any surprise in South Sudan that the talks have collapsed. It seems at the moment both parties feel there is still some military advantage to be gained on the battlefield. They're both prepared for fighting as the dry season comes. So I think they're just not ready. Conflicts have to be ripe, I think, to be solved, and this one isn't quite ripe yet. I think both sides realise they will not win the conflict by military means, but I think both sides think they can still gain a more advantageous position.
Now, with the talks having collapsed in Addis, are there any talks going on right now, whether informally or formally, trying to get the two parties together?
Well, there's another process going on, which was taking place in Arusha in Tanzania, which was to try to resolve the conflict within the ruling party, because the flashpoint for this conflict in December 2013 was actually internal party procedure. So I think there may still be some mileage to be gained out of continuing with this Arusha process.
Now, the UN Security Council voted to have a sanctions regime for those who are obstructing peace in South Sudan. And the IGAD has also been threatening the two parties to just sign a peace deal. Do you think the threats or the sanctions would push the two parties to sign a deal?
I doubt very much whether sanctions will have much effect on people. First of all, most of these people are, I mean, their money is in East Africa, probably more than it's in America or anywhere else. And it'll be interesting to see whether Uganda and Kenya and Ethiopia will be willing or able to enforce a sanctions regime. I think it's also a case that even if the two main protagonists, the two main leaders, if they agree, many of the people who are actually fighting are people in the bush. They're warlords, militia leaders who have their own agendas. And I'm not sure whether sanctions will have much effect on any of those people.
Now, looking at all the issues of disagreement at the talks in Addis, do you think that given more time, these parties could reach a deal?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that the Catholic bishops whom I work with have said very clearly that none of these things are as important as stopping the killing. They have said there is no moral justification for arguing about posts and positions and percentages while people are still killing each other. So I think the first step is that the two sides have to agree to stop the fighting. All of their political aims are on the table now. Everybody knows what everybody is asking for. And the time has come to stop the fighting.
And just following the collapse of the talks, there's been reports of renewed fightings by the two forces. Now, do you think the parties have a will to stop fighting? They've signed a cessation of hostilities agreement a number of times and recommitted to it.
Well, at this moment, it seems they don't, partly because they're still focused on political gain, on posts in the government, on percentages in power. As long as they remain focused on these things, they'll probably see a military advantage to be had by fighting. But I think they need to be told very clearly that you've got to stop fighting first before you can even think about gaining any political advantage.
What do you think of the leaked AU report recommending that neither Kiir nor Machar should be excluded from the transitional government of national unity?
Well, first of all, we don't know whether that is a true report. It's only a leaked report, so we may be commenting on nothing. But assuming that it is what it says it is, I think it's a fine principle. It recognises that if there are problems in the country, then everybody in leadership had a finger in those problems, whether that be people in the opposition, the armed opposition, the unarmed opposition, or within the government. Not one of them can claim that, you know, the others are the ones who caused the problems. All of them played a role in causing the problems. But I think it's a fine sentiment that will be very difficult to implement. I mean, the reality of life in a fragile state like South Sudan is that you can't just create a complete vacuum. You can't just throw out the entire ruling elite and expect that it will be peaceful. I think there's going to be need to find some sort of compromise.
John Ashworth is a long-time observer of Sudan and South Sudan. He was speaking to me today from